The right kind of smart. I mean, what does smart really mean? So I looked a little bit, and I found out that there are smart cars, supposedly. Smart goals. There's smarttech.com, which is self-monitoring, analysis, and reporting technology. You knew that. There's smart recovery, self-management, and recovery training, which is an alternative to AA and some of the other recovery groups. There's another group called SMART, Science, Mathematics, and Research for Transformation. I wish I'd have had that when I was a kid. There's SMART Electric Meters, SmartMoney.com. I have no idea what that is. There's SMART Boards, SMART Phones. There's the SMART Association, Secondary Materials and Recycled Textiles Association. Can't live without that. There's another organization called SMART, Schools Mentoring and Resource Team. There's a SMART Growth Online, SmartBargains.com, SMART Water. If your water's not smart, you need to see these people. There's smartmobs.com. I didn't even want to find out what that was. Smartmusic.com. There's a smart cover for iPads. Have no idea what that is either. There's another organization called SMART. Stop Mind Control and Ritual Abuse Today. There's a smartbiker.org. I haven't met many of them, but I'm sure they're out there. Smartmarriages.com. And on and on and on it went when I Googled it. But finally, most importantly, there was Maxwell Smart of Get Smart. Smart. Just because it's smart doesn't mean it is. Right? With all the information, with all the intelligence, with all the knowledge, with all the PhDs, with all the information and knowledge that's out there that's called smart, I've met a lot of dumb, smart people. Have you? They're very smart in a particular way, but when it comes to the most important kinds of things, they're not really using their heads. It's possible to be wise or smart in certain ways and very stupid in others. Somebody said it, I think it was attributed to Ben Franklin, about being penny wise and pound foolish. Being so focused on the little things, you're smart there, but in the important things, the big things, you're not. So if we're to find some practical answers to everyday problems, which is the name of the series that we're in, we have to figure out what the right kind of smart is and pursue that. And according to James, there's different kinds of smart or wisdom. And he's not using the word here to describe IQ or knowledge, but it more of, you know, like the term that says, well, let's be smart about this. Let's really see it for what it is and make the right decisions in real solutions, intelligent solutions to real problems in life. And that's really what wisdom is what we'll see. What we discover in James is that true wisdom is about applying knowledge and understanding to real life problems, especially in the area of relationships. Because true wisdom is about how we live. And Jesus was asked one time, what's most important? What's the most important command? What's the essence of life? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, it says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, everything in the Bible hangs on these two commandments." And now what we'll see as we look in the scripture in James is that's the context in which he talks about being smart or being wise. That it's not just what's up here, not being able to solve a problem on paper, but rather how to love God and to love people in a way that makes a difference in this world. There are a lot of smart, dumb people in this world. So let's figure out how to be smart, smart people, shall we? James chapter 3, verses 9 to 18. what we're studying today. They're up here. They're a little bit later in your outline. But let's read the whole passage through. James 3, verses 9 to 18. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. In this passage, what we discover are some realities that should sober us and really force us to make a decision on how we're going to live. Nobody wants to be dumb. I mean, I can't imagine walking up to anybody and saying, would you like to be dumb the rest of your life? And them saying, oh, yeah. I just can't imagine anybody doing it. And yet, so oftentimes, we are. So I think in our hearts, we really want to be smart, but we don't do it because we don't understand what it is or seek it from the right source. So let's talk about these realities that should sober us and force us to a decision. Number one, reality number one, our tongue reveals our kind of smart. Our tongue reveals the kind of smart that we are. And we looked at these verses last week as we were talking about the tongue, but this really fits with both the previous passage and this passage because our tongue really does reveal. What comes out of our mouth reveals the kind of smart that we are. James 3, verses 9 to 12 again says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And then he just says, from a logical standpoint, just from a purely human logical standpoint, he asks the question, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? No. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? No. Or can grapevine bear figs? No. So he says, neither can salt spring produce fresh water. And there, so he's saying, what comes out of our mouth proves what's on the inside. It proves what's in our heart, but it also proves the kind of wisdom or the kind of smart that we're living by, because what comes out of our mouth shows who we are. If we're living by a human set of wisdom or human smarts, we'll use words to our advantage rather than loving God and loving people. Remember, that's the context. We'll use words, we'll both praise God and we'll curse other people if it's to our advantage, if we can get what we want, if it appears to benefit us. We'll excuse our words when they're inappropriate, saying, oh, that was just, you know, I was just upset or something. And we won't recognize that what comes out is really shows what we are. And so the truth is, it seems smart by the world's standards to say what we feel and not guard our tongue, to use words to get what we want. It seems smart and it might even appear to be good for other people when we say it, but it is motivated by how it will benefit me. So he says, human wisdom will be revealed by our tongues. But then on the flip side, he says, if we are being godly smart or have godly wisdom, we will be living not excusing our words, but rather recognizing that was wrong. I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to repent of that and ask for forgiveness. And then ask God to help me be different next time. We will not just attack people and try to get what we want, but rather we'll use our words for the benefit of God and to build up other people. We will face the hard reality that our words are evidence of what we are and show us where we need to grow. One of the commentaries I read said, a key to right talk is right thought. The tongue is contained in a cage of teeth and lips, but it still escapes. It is not intelligence that keeps the lock on the cage. It is wisdom. A wisdom that is characterized by humility, grace, and peace. We will use, if we're godly smart, if we're using godly wisdom, then our words will praise God and honor Him, loving Him. And our words will build others up and not promote ourselves, loving other people. My tongue reveals if I am living human or godly wisdom, what kind of smart I am. Reality number two, our behavior reveals our kind of smart. Our behavior, not only our tongues, but our behavior as well. Verse 13 of James chapter 3, who is wise and understanding among you? It sounds like God is throwing down the gauntlet, doesn't it? Show me. You think you're smart? You think you're wise? You think you're above average? Show me. Let him show it by his good life. Circle that. Good life. By deeds. Circle that word deeds. Done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So you notice that James is saying what Jesus had said previously, that a good life is defined not by our words, not by what we say, alone, not, you know, I love God, I love people, but rather do my actions, does my behavior follow it? You see, he says, let him show it by his good life. That is defined as Jesus' example. You want to know what a good life is? Read the Gospels. He says it'll be defined by deeds done in humility, recognizing that God is God and I am not, and I'm supposed to just align myself to him and my good behavior will show it. On the flip side, if I'm living human smarts or human wisdom, my life will not look like Jesus. My deeds will be done in selfishness, in pride, in actions for show. The proof that I'm living earthly smarts and earthly wisdom will be that I'm not loving God or loving people the way I'm supposed to. Isn't it interesting that we don't want to just be smart? We want to make sure others know that we're smart and see it. So when we want to be smart or we want to be intelligent or we want to be above average, we talk about it and try to convince other people that we are. Have you noticed sometimes the people that talk the most about how talented they are don't really show it with their lives? Worldly wisdom is about trying to get more and appear to be better than others. I'm going to take that person's job. I'm going to break that person's record. I'm going to make more money than anybody else in my neighborhood. I'm not going to let that person treat me like that. That's worldly wisdom. One sign of true godly wisdom is when a person is confronted. Instead of defending themselves, you will hear things like, you know, you might be right. You know, I'm sorry that I did that and acted like that. Or, okay, you might be right. Let me explain what I was thinking, and maybe we can come to some kind of an agreement here. Our tongue and our behavior reveal the kind of smart we are. Are we godly smart, earthly smart? So the first two realities focus on that revelation, and now we come to the second two realities that talk about where we get this smart from. So reality number three is the wrong kind of smart comes from below. The wrong kind of smart comes from below. A woman went shopping. It's probably Black Friday. You know, you ladies are looking forward to that, right? No. A woman went shopping and she brought home a beautiful, wonderful dress. And she put it on, tried it on for her husband, and he looked at it and went, wow, that is beautiful. That is really incredible. And then he reached over and he saw the price tag. And he said, well, why did it have to be so extravagant? He said, well, you know, I really liked it. And I think the devil just made me buy it. And he said, well, why didn't you say, get behind me, Satan? She said, well, I did. And he said, it looks just as good from back here, so I bought it. We can prove just about anything we want to ourselves, can't we? That's the worldly wisdom. We can convince ourselves that with these worldly smarts, these earthly wisdom of just about anything. James chapter 3, verses 14 to 16 says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly. And notice the progression: earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now note again the criteria that it are our words and our behavior in the context of loving God and loving other people is real wisdom. And this is the antithesis of that. And so it's you know, when I first started looking at this, I thought, man, it's kind of baffling because he's not really talking about intelligence. He's talking about lifestyle. He's talking about actions, that wisdom is not just what we say or what we know, but it's how we live. So he says, true wisdom has nothing to do with selfishness. Verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Envy is desiring what another person has. It can seem smart, it can seem wise to be against those who have more, against those who are different, wanting what another person has and striving for it. And then selfish ambition, he says, is striving to gain something with a focus on myself. Both of those are about selfishness. The problem is not ambition. The problem is not trying to gain the things that we need in this life. The problem is that it's selfish. It's focused on ourselves. It might sound smart. It might sound wise to say, well, I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to buy a huge house. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to succeed in some other way. It may sound good because we can even spiritualize it and say, and when I do, I'm going to glorify God with it. I'm going to bless other people with it. But it's still all about ourselves. He says this kind of wisdom is about ourselves. It's selfish. And it's often used by people who still think they're doing what they should. As long as I don't get caught, it's okay. That sounds like that's earthly wisdom. That you hear a lot of people say that kind of thing. Each person for himself. Survival of the fittest. Earthly wisdom. Bitter envy and selfish ambition also causes divisions among people. Because when I'm focused on myself, I'm going to push other people aside. And if we remember it's about loving God and loving other people, then none of that has any place in our lives. If we find that in us, James says, then we should not boast, look at me, or deny the truth, that there is anything wrong with what I'm doing. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to zoom in on our hearts and say, this is wrong, and we say, but no, and we deny the truth. There's nothing wrong with this. Or sometimes we even spiritualize it. Sometimes instead of envy, we call it zeal. Oh, I'm not envious of that person. I'm just really enthusiastic. Instead of selfish ambition, we call it standing for truth. We're keeping ourselves pure. It can sound good, it can look good, but it's still all about myself. Verse 15, he says, such wisdom, quote, wisdom, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Earthly, meaning of this world, rather than of heaven. Unspiritual, meaning against God, because anything spiritual is in alignment with Christ. Unspiritual is disalignment with Christ. And then finally, he says, of the devil himself, joining God's enemy. So James is going through this progression. It's earthly. It's not aligning with God. It's against God because it comes straight from the pit of hell. And here again, we see one of those either-or situations. In a world, in a culture where we like to have a lot of gray areas, he says you're either with God or you're against God. but you can't be in the middle. And so, depending on what kind of smart you have, it aligns you with either the devil or with God. And there he, and then he goes on in verse 16, for where you have envy, wanting what somebody else has, and selfish ambition, trying to gain for myself, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Disorder and every evil practice. Those are behaviors. So he says, so if we turn it backwards, he says, if there's disorder or evil practices among you, then you don't have heavenly wisdom at all. You've got earthly wisdom. It's from below. Wisdom is not about IQ or knowledge, but about application. It's putting into practice what we know into life situations. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, Jesus said, but wisdom is shown to be right by its results. It's not how good I can do on an IQ test, it's how I live. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So he says, we live, we're born with a sinful nature, and we follow that nature, and that's the wisdom, or that's the smarts, that's the knowledge that we follow, and we end up being against God. But God has come in the form of Jesus Christ, and he has confounded the greatest wisdom of this world, and he has shown it to be untrue, because it's about loving God and loving other people. And anything that is not of Christ is of this world. Which brings us to number four, the right kind of smart comes from above. It comes from above. It comes from God. Warren Wiersbe says, whenever I ride a bus or an elevated train in the city of Chicago, I often think of the man in Boston who was entertaining a famous Chinese scholar. He met his Oriental friend at the train station and rushed him to the subway. As they ran through the subway station, the host panted to his guest, if we run and catch this next train, we'll save 3 minutes. To which the patient Chinese philosopher replied, and what significant thing shall we do with the 3 minutes that we're saving? You see, so much of what we do can seem so right and so good, and we're caught up in it because of our culture until God interrupts us and says, but what does that matter? We can strive so much in this world for success or for finances or all those kinds of things. And God is trying to say, but what will that really matter? If it's not about loving God and loving people, does it really matter? James 1:5, if back at the very first message of this series, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, not the wise people of the culture, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Real wisdom, real smarts, is supernatural. It can't be conjured up. It can't be learned. It can't be willed. Now, we need to learn, and we need to understand. We need knowledge. God isn't saying, check your mind at the door. But he says it's the true wisdom comes from above. It's only available to those who surrender the selfishness, the human nature, and accept the nature of Christ. Psalm 111:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear meaning honoring him, recognizing that he is Almighty God, the God of the universe, and giving reverencing him, giving him his proper place. It says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Jesus said, if you obey me, then you will know the truth. You will truly be my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's backwards from what our world says. Our world says, get enough knowledge, and then you can put it into practice. And Jesus says, no, obey me, align yourself with me, and then you will begin to understand the truth. That's where spiritual wisdom, real wisdom comes from. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. And that next word that we don't like a whole lot, discipline. And then Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So where does true wisdom come from? It comes from above. James 3:13 again, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that come from wisdom. By showing showing our wisdom by getting high scores and having a whole bunch of knowledge? No. It's shown by our actions. Wisdom is shown by our actions. Loving God, loving other people. And then verse 17, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. This is true smarts. This is true wisdom. But it's shown. Isn't it interesting that he's not showing by how much you know but by what we do. And this is so important that I put some definitions in your outline. And understanding that these only come as we surrender ourselves to God, as we align ourselves with God, as we give ourselves to God, as we surrender everything that's not about God. Only then will these come. So check yourself as we go through this list from verse 17. First of all, he says it's pure or holy. That is belonging to God alone. He says our actions belonging to God alone and being like God, that there's no twisted motives, that we're not trying to use people and love, quote, love people to get our own way. Peace-loving, that is producing peace among people, especially Christians. If I love peace, I'm trying to bridge the gap between people and between people and God. I'm trying to help people get along and rather no divisions, no gossip, no slander, none of that stuff that gets in the way. He says, considerate, patient, long-suffering. That's kind of a King James word, but I love that word because it really describes it. If we're being patient, it means we're willing to suffer long. Long-suffering, gentle, non-combative, submissive. That's giving ourselves to God, but it's also an attitude that causes us to be easy to approach, knowing that I don't have to fear that you're going to blow up when I talk to you, or you're going to get mad, or you're going to be hurtful, but that you're easy to approach. Full of mercy, that is giving what isn't deserved. That's really what mercy is, giving grace to another person who doesn't deserve it. Jesus hung on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. He was giving mercy to those that didn't deserve it. Stephen, as he was being stoned, says, don't hold it against them. Mercy. When somebody hurts us, we're still willing to love them. Good fruit. He says, actions, behavior that looks like Jesus. And it's very similar to Galatians chapter 5, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Says that's the kind of life that shows true wisdom. Impartial, not double-minded, but only concerned with pleasing God and loving people. Impartial and sincere, without hypocrisy, not two-faced, no double standards. That's true wisdom, he says. And that kind of wisdom only comes from above. That's the right kind of smarts. If we want to live not just for here and now, but for here and hereafter, that's the right kind of smarts. So how did you do? So here's where we landed so far. Here's some definitions. Wisdom, as a neutral term, is applying knowledge and experience to life. That's just what wisdom is. It's not intelligence. It's taking knowledge and experience and applying it to life in applicable ways. Worldly wisdom is applying human knowledge and experience to life. It's not following God's truth. It doesn't focus on loving God, loving other people, but it's really about ourselves. And then godly wisdom is applying the real truth. And all real truth, it comes from God, whether it's in the Bible, whether it's gravity or whatever it is. It's applying real truth and experience, my life experience with God, to life. And because it's godly, it can't help but be focused on loving God and loving people. It doesn't check, godly wisdom doesn't check our mind at the door, but rather it applies, it uses IQ, it uses our knowledge, and it uses our mind. So the first four realities show us where they come from and what earthly wisdom, what godly wisdom is, where they come from, and brings us to number five. And that is, both kinds of smart reap a harvest. Both kinds of smart reap a harvest. We can choose our choices, but we cannot choose our consequences. And earthly wisdom tries to make our choice. I want to choose to live this way. I want to choose to lose you. I want to choose to live selfishly. I want to choose to not take care of my body and to eat what I want, never exercise, but I want to live to be 100 and live well. Earthly wisdom says, I want to make my choices, but I want to determine the consequences of those choices. And there are a lot of dumb, smart people that do exactly that. Have you ever noticed that there are a lot of things that seemed like a good idea at the time? By the laughter, I take it that you have. You see, when I was about 12, it seemed like a good idea at the time to strap on my Batman cape and grab a rope that was swinging from a tree and swing out there. We had been doing it all day long, but as I swung the last time, the rope snapped, and I, instead of flying like Batman, I dropped like a rock, landed flat on my back, and almost killed myself. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but every action has consequences. Seemed like a good idea at the time when I was a kid and I would practice how long I could riding without holding onto the handlebars until I hit a tree. And it didn't seem so smart anymore sitting in an emergency room. But see, in our human wisdom, we want to be able to choose our choices, swing from that rope, ride the bike without holding on, and never have any consequences. The consequences being, I'm always safe, I'm always good, I never have a problem. Sometimes it seems like a good idea to buy a new car because everybody else is buying it and they gave me a good rates. But we're learning in Financial Peace University, that's a stupid thing to do if you're struggling with your finances. But it seemed like a good idea at the time. We can choose our choices, but we cannot choose our consequences. We will reap a harvest of the kind of smarts, the kind of wisdom that we're using. We'll reap a harvest either way. James chapter 3, verse 18 says, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now, here's the picture. Sowing, he's given the picture of a farmer in those days, and they would walk on this path in between, and they would reach it to their back, and they would sow their seeds, and they would throw it out there, and they would walk the path, and they would throw it out there. And what they were doing was taking a seed that would plant, that would end up in the ground, and as a result, you would get a harvest of whatever that seed was. So if it was wheat seed, you would get wheat. If it was, I don't know if they had corn, you would get corn. Watermelons, you know, cantaloupe, zucchini. Anybody can grow zucchini. Zucchini, you get. So what he's saying is those who sow peace, verse 18 again, those who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. And so those who are focused on peace with God and peace with people reap a harvest of righteousness. And you know what righteousness is? It's right relationship with God and right relationship with people. It's doing the right thing in all my relationships. And so he says, you'll reap a harvest, a good kind of seed. But the opposite is true too, is if we are, and every one of us are, sowing seeds by our lives, what we're doing, if we're sowing seeds of disunity, of hurtfulness, of gossip, of slander, of deceitfulness, of pride, then we will reap that same harvest of unrighteousness. That is, wrong relationship with God and wrong relationship with people. We will reap a harvest. We could choose our choices, but we cannot choose our consequences. We can choose a choice, we can make our choice of righteousness, or we can make our choice of unrighteousness. But we will reap the harvest. Just because it's called smart doesn't mean it is. Would you bow your heads? What kind of smarts are you using these days? What kind of wisdom are you using? The earthly, unspiritual, of the devil kind of smarts, kind of wisdom, seems to make a lot of logical sense in this world. And it plays right into our sinful human nature. To live by this kind of smarts, the Jesus kind of smarts and wisdom, requires a deliberate choice of saying, I'm going to go against my nature and I'm going to follow God. No matter the cost, no matter how hard it is, I'm going to turn away from that old nature and I'm going to turn towards God. James says when we are confronted with the truth, we should not boast about our actions or deny it. So this morning, if the Holy Spirit has been working on your heart and pointing at your heart about some things, the right response is, God, I'm sorry. It's not, no, I didn't really mean that. No, that's not really true of me. No. He says, when you deny the truth, you pull yourself right out of what God wants to do in your life. So this morning, are there some areas where you need to repent, some things that you need to surrender, some ways that you need to make it right with God so that you can live by godly wisdom, godly smarts for the rest of your life and reap that harvest that really matters? If there are, would you spend just a moment saying, repenting and asking God to forgive you, renewing your commitment? Would you ask God to help you live by His wisdom? To spend enough time getting to know Him, listen to Him, and live to love people and to love Him. Would you ask Him to reveal any place in your life that you may not even be aware of, that you're living by earthly wisdom rather than heavenly wisdom? And then listen. Lord, there are so many things in this world that seem to be a good idea, seem to make sense, that get us right into the trouble that we want to avoid. So God, I pray that you would fill our minds and our hearts with your wisdom. Not just so that we will know, but so that we will live. Our behavior would be all about you. Help us to surrender those areas of our lives where you're not pleased and allow you to transform them. Help us as a church to see those places where we're just doing things according to what makes sense in this world when you have such different things for us. Lord, show us as we go through our week the places that we need to change our words and our actions. Help us to give ourselves more fully to you, and in doing so, give ourselves more fully to loving people. Lord, thank you for the truth that you've given to us. Now keep it in our minds and in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name.